ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter number 8, Text number 19. There are other two verses also of the same nature, and Srila Prabhupada gives very elaborate effort on the same subject matter. Why do we have stomach in the first place? So, it's very interesting reading. I was looking into, and if we can try to do all the three verses today, what do you think? Text number 19. Jihubaya Pati Pramathina Janaha Dasa Vimohitaha Mrityam Richati Asat Buddhihi Meenaha Tu Badesahi Yatha Jihvayati Pramathinya Janorasa Vimohitaha Mrityum Richatya Sadat Buddhim Minastu Badishayatha Jihvayati Pramathinya Janorasa Vimohitaha Mrityum Richatya Satsatbuddhim Meenastu Bhaishayatha Jihvayati Pramathinyam Janodasa Vimohitaha Mrityum Richatya Satsatbuddhim Meenastu Bhaishayatha Jihvaya, by the tongue, Apikramathinya, which is extremely disturbing. Janaha, a person, rasa vimohitaha, bewildered by the attraction to taste. Mrityam, death. Vichati, achieves. Asat, useless. Buddhi, whose intelligence. Meena, the fish. Tu, indeed. Bhaishahi, by the hooks. Yatha, justice. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Just as a fish, incited by the desire to enjoy his tongue, is fatally trapped on the fisherman's hook. Similarly, a foolish person is bewildered by the extremely disturbing urges of the tongue and thus is ruined. The fisherman places meaty bait on a sharp hook and easily attracts the unintelligent fish who is greedy to enjoy his tongue. Similarly, people are led after gratifying their tongues and lose all discrimination in their eating habits. For momentary gratification, they construct huge slaughterhouses and kill millions of innocent creatures, and by inflicting such atrocious suffering, they prepare a ghastly future for themselves. But even if one eats only foods authorized in the Vedas, there is still danger. One may eat too sumptuously, and then artificially stuffed belly will create pressure on the sexual organs. Thus one will fall down into the lower modes of nature and commit simple activities that lead to death of one's spiritual life. From the fish, one should carefully learn the real dangers involved in gratifying the tongue. Indriyani janayatyasu niraharam manishinaha vajaitvatu rasanam anirasnasavadhe. By fasting, learned men quickly bring all the senses except the tongue under the control. Because by abstaining from eating such, men are afflicted with an increased desire to gratify the sense of taste. In South America, there is a saying that when the belly is full, the heart is content. Thus one who is eating sumptuously is jolly, and if one is deprived of proper food, one's appetite becomes even more voracious. An intelligent person, however, does not fall under the control of the tongue, but rather tries to make progress in Krishna consciousness. By accepting the remnants of the food offered to the Lord, Prasadam, one gradually purifies the heart and automatically becomes simple and austere. In this connection, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur states that the business of the tongue is to gratify itself with the varieties of flavors. But by wandering in the 12 holy forests of Vrajamandal, Vrindavan, one can be freed from the 12 flavors of material sense gratification. The 5 principal divisions of material relationships are neutral admiration, servitude, friendship, parental affection, and conjugal love. The 7 subordinate features of the material relationships are material humor, astonishment, chivalry, compassion, anger, dread, and ghastliness. Originally, these 12 rasas, or the flavors of relationships, are exchanged between the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the entity in the spiritual world. And by wandering in the 12 forests of Vrindavan, one can re-spiritualize the 12 flavors of personal existence. Thus one will become a liberated soul, free from all material desires. If one artificially tries to give up sense gratification, especially out of the tongue, the attempt will be a failure. And in fact, one's desire for sense gratification will increase as a result of artificial deprivation. Only by experiencing real spiritual pleasure in relationship with Krishna can one give up the material desires. Tavat jitendriyo na syad vijitendriya yah puman na jayadrasanam yavat jitam sarvam jiterase. Although one may conquer all of the other senses, as long as the tongue is not conquered, it cannot be said that one has controlled his senses. However, if one is able to control the tongue, then one is understood to be in full control of all the senses. This must be a very good class for brahmacharis. I'm supposed to take on Saturday tomorrow, right? Offered by His Divine Grace, now the disciples of His Divine Grace, is the full answer of Srila Prabhupada. By eating, one gives energy and activity to all of the senses, and thus if the tongue is uncontrolled, all of the senses will be dragged in down to the material platform of existence. Therefore, by all means, one must control the tongue. If one fasts, then all of the other senses become weak and lose their potency. The tongue, however, becomes more greedy to taste delicious preparations And when one finally indulges the tongue, all the senses quickly go out of control. Therefore, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur advises that one accept Mahaprasadam for the remnants of Lord's food in more than proportion. Since the tongue's function is also to vibrate, one should vibrate the glorious holy name of the Supreme Lord and taste in the ecstasy of Krishna, pure Krishna consciousness. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, rasa varjam rasopyasya param drashtvani vartate, only by the high taste of Krishna consciousness can one give up the deadly lower taste that keeps one imprisoned in the material bondage. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur states that as long as one's intelligence is materially covered, one cannot understand the pleasure of Krishna consciousness. Trying to enjoy without Krishna and the living entity leaves the abode of the Supreme Lord called Brajbhumi and comes down into the material world, where he quickly loses control of his senses. One becomes particularly victimized by the tongue, belly and genitals, which exert intolerable pressure on the conditioned soul. These desires subside when one re-establishes one's blissful relationship with the Lord, who is actually the reservoir of all pleasure. One who is attached to the taste of Krishna consciousness automatically follows all the rules and regulations of the religious life due to the spontaneous attraction to Vishuddha Sattva or the mode of pure goodness. Without such spontaneous attraction, one is certainly bewildered by the pushings of the material senses. Even in the beginning stage of devotional service called sadhana bhakti, regulated practice, is so powerful that it brings one to the platform of anartha nivritti, where one becomes free from unwanted sinful habits and gains relief from the pressure of the tongue, belly and genitals. Thus one is delivered from that bondage of the material addiction and can no longer be cheated by the allurement of the material energy. As it is said, that all that glitters is not gold. In this regard, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur recommends that we consider the following song written by the father, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Sharira Vidya Jal, Jadendriya Taheka, Jive Phele Visaya Sahare, Aramadhya Jivati, Lobha Maya Sudhimati, Rake Jita Kathina Samsare, Krishna Bhada Daya Maya, Kari Vare Jivaja, Swaprasadan Natilobhaya, Sen Namritapav, Radha Krishna Gunadav, O Lord, this material body is a lump of ignorance, and the senses are a network of the paths to death. Somehow we have fallen into this ocean of material sense enjoyment. Of all the senses, the tongue is the most voracious and uncontrollable. It is very difficult to conquer the tongue in this world. But you, dear Krishna, are very kind to us and have given us such nice prasadam. Just to control the tongue, now we take this prasadam to our full satisfaction and glorify the Lordship, Sri Sri Radha Krishna, and in love call for the help of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. Srila Prabhupada. These are wonderful thoughts about the total management of the tongue. It's very comprehensive, but it covers the real facts and exposes us to the real danger of falling into the material existence. Simply one urge of the tongue to taste nice prasadam. In the beginning, when new bhakta would be joining, he is very welcomed and offered the big plate of Mahaprasadam. Because it's Mahaprasadam, it must have transcendental effect. So Srila Prabhupada would tell, just offer him, do not worry. He was so confident that this is the method. If we conquer the tongue, even his arguments will be finished if he's an opposing party. So, prasad distribution doesn't mean food distribution. That is the distribution of the mercy of the Lord, which is invested in the form of prasadam. So, unless and until we are confirmed, you know, that how it will act. In the beginning, devotees are so much obsessed by the prasadam, that even though they would eat, not only sumptuously, but over, there were transcendental competitions between devotees. And especially when it comes to gulab jamun. I know in New Vrindavan, West Virginia, we had 600 cows. So much milk, so much cheese and everything, you know, we were making ourselves. The devotees, they have the story. One of the devotees, he was very well known, and if you are fortunate to hear his story from the mouth of Radhanath Maharaj, you'll be very happy to know this transcendental activity. One, especially a great devotee called Charu. Charu was so famous. He was hardworking, young American devotee. On Sunday feast, where the tennis ball shape hot gulab jamuns are prepared for the feast, he was able to eat 70 of them. But he will go, he was working in the cow barns, so he will go hide himself in the hay, dry hay, heaps of, nobody can find it, you know. He will go to sleep. For 6 continuous hours, nobody knows where he is, nothing. And then he will get up in the evening, goes to the kitchen, drinks up the whole syrup left over, and goes back to sleep. This is a famous pastime, and Radhanath Maharaj can tell you in a very, very fluid way. Not only our mouths start weeping for the story of gulab jamun, but this was a real prasadam edict. We were publishing Vijvasi Spirit. It is still being published, but and they have started repeating the story of called Confessions of Prasadam Edict. Confession of Prasadam Edict. So, all of a sudden, Charu disappeared. Nobody could find a trace of him. And startling, the effect of the prasadam is there. You can see, Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur Maharaj said, we have to honor the prasadam in a moderate way. But just as sure, the effect of prasadam can be found even in the small grain. is very inconceivable. But in India, if you go to the temples, generally the Mayavadi temples and others, they misunderstand. If it is found in little grain, why don't we give only little grain? So they won't give you more prasad. They will give coconut, peanuts with mixed sugar. They don't want to bother. Whatever is cooked should be offered to the Lord. So it's a misunderstanding or misapplication of the process. That if the spiritual potency is conceived within little grain of prasadam. It's a prasadam kalika matra. A little grain is good enough. But it fosters the deep down faith on it. That's how it works. Even in Melbourne, there were two lawyers who came to see Srila Prabhupada. They were social workers, and one was a lawyer, maybe his assistant or someone who was accompanying him. Prabhupada talks about, you know, the standard of service rendered to the public. You know. And Prabhupada was talking and chanting, you know. And as soon as a little conviction is there in their understanding, Prabhupada will immediately tell the world, please offer them prasad. So they won't speak much nonsense. You know. So in this way we see that the practicality of prasadam is to control the taste. We may take to our full satisfaction, but satisfaction of what? The volume of prasadam that made the pot bellies? No, the full satisfaction comes from the transcendental effect of the prasadam. One who does not understand how to take prasadam, honor prasadam, then they will fight even. They will misunderstand. They will be so greedy that they want to have the special privilege. Some people think, oh, we prepare, we should have our portion. But there are so many misapplications of prasadam and distribution of them. But here we see that the most profound effect of prasadam is to control the taste. That is the most difficult. And here it is said that one who has conquered the tongue, he could easily conquer all of the senses. And if he fails in conquering the tongue, all of the senses that we have been conquered will not stay conquered. They will be inflated again. For example, this quotation in the purport that Virahārasya dehina raso vajam raso pyasya param dhishtvāni vartate. If we stop feeling, means if we fast, all other senses will be subdued. But not the tongue. Artificial fasting. You can keep a lot of fasting just to fulfill other desires. Right? They do Monday fasting, Tuesday fasting, Wednesday, Thursday, no days. Even the Papa Purush was in trouble. Because Papa Purush means material attachment, and which is caused by ignorance of the soul. So Papa Purush went to the Lord. In the human society, they already took every day, and I don't have any resolution. Who is going to purify me? Each day, I don't have any day. So Lord Krishna, said, yes, you are anxious to be purified because you will be keeping all the living entities in material conception. That is the Papa Purusha. Purush means enjoyer, and Papa means false. And one that keeps us in ignorance is Papa. This is not beneficial for the soul, is called Papa. Punya is beneficial for the piety, but it also gives some immediate benefit. But yet, we are supposed to look into the permanent benefit. So, Papa Purush himself is a personality. This personality approached Lord Krishna for his own relief. His own relief. And therefore Krishna set aside Ekadashi. But if we want to get rid of the body conception of life, which no other days and their controlling deities were able to do this, and people pick up their different desires to be fulfilled through those fastings, body conception will not be removed. So therefore, there was a right approach for the Papa Purush personified to Lord Shri Krishna, and said, okay, I am keeping this Ekadashi for you. Where people will refrain from grains and beans, because they are the medium for material conception, the bodily conception. Annada bhavanti bhutani arjanyat anna sambhava. So, by fasting, we may be able to control other senses, but not the tongue. The taste is required even on Ekadashi. Why are we insisting upon Gauranga potatoes? If there is no Gauranga potato, then Ekadashi is failed. We will keep on hankering something palatable. Right? So, this is very important that Krishna is advising Vishayavni vartante niraharasya dehina. Vishaya means objects of sense gratification. And the senses are also the medium to get the perception of sense, or transaction of the effects of feelings to the senses. Many vartante, you cannot subdue by nirahara, fasting. For those who are embodied. Why? Because the whole body is nothing but food. It is transformation of the food. An active chapati. Can you imagine? Because the chapati is going to be consumed. Why do they call it? Materially, if people want to decorate their chapati, you think the chapati is their personality. Right? The chapati is their personality. And they fail to understand. So, even they want to artificially deprive the chapati, make it thin, or whatever they want to initiate, by not providing enough flour, just watery things. It won't be a chapati, it will be totally initiated. Constitution may be the same thing, but it won't look like chapati. Emaciated, total. So artificial imposition to refrain from not feeding the body. It will not kill the sense of taste because it is also very subtle. While filling the belly is gross, so viṣaya vinivartante nirāharasya dhina raso varjam. Rasa means the taste. Varjam means there are two kinds of taste. Rasa to be given up, that must be inferior. Raso apyasya, counteracted by another rasa. But it means it should be superior. Param drashtva nivartate. Param means the supreme drashtva. One who targets the spiritual aspect which is the supreme. Nivartate. He does not indulge in artificial. Because to give up lower taste, one should apply the higher taste. On its own, the taste is not going to be destroyed. It cannot go away. It will be always there. And we hear that the taste is very important. In material life, we hanker for the taste. We say, we are sick and tired of eating at home, only one kind of food, let's go to the restaurant. And people are getting sick and tired of the restaurant food because they also are advertising, just cook like home. So the taste becomes saturated and you hanker for the higher one. That's why you keep on going from one restaurant to another. People do. In the Western country, can you imagine the sense of the tongue and taste? It would be really, really hard. Even though in India we say, in the Western country they have only few spices, salt and pepper. In India, nobody cares for salt and pepper. They have so much varieties of spice, because varieties of tastes are there. Krishna described the varieties of taste, the taste in the mode of goodness, passion and ignorance. But what is the transcendental taste? That is also to be understood. Otherwise, so many combinations and permutations can be applied in Indian cuisine. Book is so extensive, you won't see such book. It won the first prize, when it was published. So, even the devotees cannot handle that many tastes given in the book. So, nobody was buying the big book. She has to condense in smaller book, divide in different groupings or so. So, regardless, what we see, it is all gearing on the taste. Why is taste so much important? Because it was created in the beginning of the creation. 24 elements that were created amongst with the 5 senses, the 5 objects of senses, and 5 subjects of senses. So 15 are right there. And above there, there was mind. Right? The 16 belongs to the function of the taste, senses. And amongst them is tongue, the taste of the tongue. So we see the nature that the taste is not going to go unless it is replaced by higher taste. That is the only way. Prabhupada gives so many examples in appropriate way to give us the instruction. The whole material world is a bitter experience. It's like the condition of jaundice. And one tastes bitter because the blood is mixed with bile. And the blood is circulated in all the senses, including tongue. So, there are even different sensory perception of different tastes in the tongue. They will be all overpowered by bile, which is bitter. So, however tasty meal one is getting, somehow or another, it is bitter. That is very appropriate to understand what we are looking for, varieties in the material world. After all, they are all covered by ignorance of bile taste. But how to clear it? To remove the condition of jaundice, one must take candy, sweet candy. Prabhupada gives example of the sweetness or the transcendental aspect behind it. It must be coming through condensed situation. Ordinary sugar or ordinary cane juice, when it is boiled, it turns into jaggery, but the jaggery is not refined. When it is refined, it is the sugar crystals. But these sugar crystals also have a lot of water in it. So therefore, they have to be recrystallized in the process where there will be solid rock candy can be formed. Because it is concentrated in sweetness. So similarly, the concentration of the spiritual aspect behind the taste, which is love and devotion to the Supreme, we try to please the senses of Lord. And Radharani was the best. She, even in the Kumari Avastha, Mother Yashoda would call her to cook for Krishna. You know, to cook for Krishna. And she would happily go. And from her service to Lord Krishna, she would conceive many, many transcendental pastimes within her mind. Simply because she is keeping Krishna, Krishna's pleasure, in control. Means, in control means not restrictions, but rather she is ready to increase all the taste according to the desire of the Lord. That is also controlling. She is the energy. Energy is knowing the nature of the energetic. Therefore, in the transcendental realm, the service rendered to please Lord Krishna becomes in tune with the transcendental effect that will be conveyed. When we serve in the mood of pleasing Lord Krishna, how Krishna will be pleased? Through the order of spiritual master. You know? And the order of spiritual master is also to cooperate with each other. Means please each other. When the devotees are pleased, Guru is pleased. And when the Guru is pleased, Krishna is pleased. When the devotees start, you know, fighting with each other. Otherwise, how is it possible to appreciate even this kind of uncommon behavior of a devotee to eat 70 gulab jamuns? You know, it gives us some kind of pleasure that somebody can do this feat. We tell him, bravo, bravo. Seventy gulab jamun, size of a tennis ball. If somebody eats one, he will be flat out. So anyway, the example of fish is given that is very unintelligent. But a devotee, when he becomes introspective, he understands that the purpose of controlling the tongue is directly to conquer all of the senses. And tongue is having two functions, to vibrate and to taste. Tongue needs to be engaged. Otherwise, there are a lot of pushings. Vacho Vegam is also the pushings of the tongue that wants to vibrate. So the higher taste in vibration is glorification of the Supreme Lord, because it contains transcendental engagement for the soul. Otherwise, soul will remain covered, unintelligent. Because we are not providing the positive engagement to the tongue, it will remain unintelligent. and covered all the time. That is what the common man thinks. So, superior taste means superior engagement. So, seekers of the truth who are called param drashtva, it has to be observed, it has to be felt, experienced. So, the great acharyas have delineated that to control the taste of the tongue is extremely difficult than to control the other senses. The one who has controlled the taste of the tongue, then every other will also fall in control. This prayer, daily prayer of Sharir Avidya Jal Chadendri Tahekal Jive Filadishaya Sagar. Every word of Bhaktivinoda Thakur is so much in tune with the effort to bring out, in our daily practice of honoring prasadam, the transcendental effect of the necessary to keep our soul falling trap into the demands of the body and the senses. In all the senses, he says, the tongue is the most voracious. Voracious means like a bean. He is a voracious eater. He can eat a cartload of prasadam. Voracious. But why the tongue is called voracious? Little prasadam is not satisfying for a malicious person. Is greed. Greed is another expression for voraciousness. One satisfies. More you put, more it will be dissatisfying. But then this voraciousness has to be controlled. It has to be controlled qualitatively, not quantitatively. Therefore, many times when Mahaprasad is coming around, let's honor whatever is given, rather than demand, give me this, give me that, because it's my choice. Why not? Sometimes you give, but other times you do not demand it. Accept. So both processes are there. Because after all, the understanding has to be geared on the transcendental effect of the prasadam rather than quantitative effect. This is the quality. The quality of the taste of transcendental mellows. And therefore, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj gives a beautiful example of the true forest of Vrindavan. When we go and visit, the particular pastimes are very appropriate to control those rasas. In every different place, Krishna performed so many different pastimes. There are 12 forests. So there are 12 rasas. 5 are primary, 7 are secondary. It's given in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So, if a pilgrim is keeping in mind the purpose of, you know, going on parikrama or purpose to visit the pastimes of Lord Krishna. They have to meditate on which particular rasa of exchange was there between the devotees and the Supreme Lord. And chivalrous mood, which is a mixed in subordinate rasa, there are also pastimes. When you do the talvan, in talvan there are tall trees, and tall fruits are difficult to get. One has to climb up 60, 70 feet. And if somebody drops the tal fruit, you can't eat because it will be smashed. So it's difficult. But the friends of Krishna, the gopas, they asked Krishna, there are so many fruits and they are very sweet. Can we have? So why not? But Talvan was protected by envious donkey demon, Dhenukasur. And all his friends were there. So as soon as the boys came, they started shaking the trees. And fruits were falling somewhere, caught, and they were relishing. But the donkeys came in rage, opposition. So Krishna and Balaram had to give them a good lesson in chivalrous mood. So it's a subordinate. So the pastime that depicts the different rasa of exchange and how the gopas enjoyed both the killing of the demons by Krishna and Balaram as well as tasting the tal fruit. Both remain identical. You know, you don't get tal fruit every day. And it's forbidden in that sense because it's too high. You simply see and then keep on your mouth watering. That's about it. But who dares to go up? One must be very adventurous, chivalrous, and then you meet donkeys who are going to kill you. It's a tough job. Regardless, the transcendental nature of these activities will remind us that particular exchange of rasa. So, Krishna's pastimes depict different rasas. And these rasas are the original rasas. But in material nature, these rasas are also reflected in perverted form. And if we want to eradicate perverted form by our intelligence, we don't fall prey to the bait of perverted tricks, get into perverted form, and naturally we will be able to get the direct understanding of the pastimes of Lord Krishna, and devotees become gradually saturated with this habit of going and to pilgrimage and going for parikrama and visit the different places of pastimes. In this way, a replacement can be done. The soul version, the perverted will be kicked out
and raso appears,
their
param, the superior taste, will be taking over. Otherwise, you cannot heal your senses or sense perception. Why senses cannot be killed? Or sense perception? Why they are so vital? Yes. Because originally Krishna and his associates, his parts and parcel, all have spiritual senses. Without senses means the knowledge acquiring senses. You can't be omniscient even. Krishna is omniscient. He's all knowledgeable. That omniscience comes through the spiritual understanding. So, so Durmati. Durmati is unintelligent. The greed is also Durmati. Dhamma, Sudurmati. Durmati means unintelligent. Sudurmati means damn fool. If we agree that we are foolish, so yes, yes, I'm a fool, but I'm not a damn fool. That should be the discrimination. Yes. We are fools. We should accept humbly. But do not become damn fool. Then we can try by understanding this example of the unintelligent fish affected by the meaty hook. Becomes greedy to satisfy the sense of taste. And he makes the death. Okay. Anybody has any question? What do you like most? Halwa, puri? Chocolate? Watch out. Can you speak a little louder? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so merciful. He would feed him up to here. So no arguments. Even thinking is not required when you are, you know, completely satisfied with Prasadam. You don't have to run your brain. Chant Hare Krishna, eat Prasadam, perform service, you will go and come back to Godhead. Even in the beginning, when the devotees get so much greedy for Prasadam, Prabhupada would laugh at them. He will enjoy. You know? He would enjoy. He would be sitting prasadam. Chaturvidhasi. Bhagavat prasadam. Svadanna priptan hari bhakta sangha. It's a big relishment because he is confident that the attachment to prasadam, which is offered food to Lord Krishna, there is the transcendental potency. So they say, oh, you guys are going to go and come back to God right on your stomach. You will growl on your stomach. To make progress, we have to use our hand and feet. But no, the stomach is good enough. So growl on your stomach and go back to God. That is Prabhupada conquered. And like in the beginning, we see how many devotees have joined ISKCON movement by prasadam. There's the first, as the first reason. Everybody of us, don't lie. We were not intelligent to understand the philosophy, but prasadam is the greatest attraction to join ISKCON. We take the survey and publish the result. That's the truth. We are lazy bumps. we don't have intelligence to understand the philosophy. I admit that when I went to America in 1971, we didn't have anything to eat, except pizza. And one devotee came within 5 days and offered me the Sunday feast card. That was my day. For almost 3 months, we were hankering every weekend where to go and take prasad. I mean, food. Because no rice, no dal, nothing. And the restaurants, they provide them. It's all contaminated. You can't touch. Anyway. But prasadam is the first and foremost attraction. If there was no prasadam, what would be the situation of ISKCON? Can you imagine? No. No life without prasadam. The whole theories, whole philosophies will be dry speculation without prasadam. It only becomes tasty, Philosophy becomes tasty in Krishna consciousness by prasadam. Yes.
No function is complete
without the prasadam. One time he said, I'm here to teach you only three things. Chant, dance, and when you get tired, take prasadam. No fourth thing is to be learned. It's so concentrated, simple in formula, but understanding is profound there. You can expand, you can give lectures for days together on the three subjects, chanting, dancing, and taking prasadam. All right. Thank you very much. Bless you, Prabhupada.